Good afternoon and welcome to the ADA Audio Conference Series, Accessible Technology on Smartphones and Tablets for Users that are Blind and Low Vision. I now turn it over to your moderator for today, Peter Berg. Peter?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the December ADA audio session. We are screaming towards the end of 2021. This is our final ADA audio webinar session for the year, and we are glad that you have taken time to join us. The ADA audio program is a project of the ADA National Network. The ADA National Network is funded by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Administration on Community Living, National Institute on Disability Independent Living, and Rehabilitation Research. You can locate the regional ADA center that serves your state by visiting adata.org. There you will find contact information and a way to send a question or request for information to your regional ADA center. So glad again that you have joined us today for this session. All of our presenters today are members of iBug, and we will hear more about iBug in just a moment. And I will introduce our four presenters and then turn it over to them because they have a whole lot of great information that they are going to provide to us today. As a quick reminder, if you have questions, please submit those in the Q&A area, and you can do those throughout the session. And with time available following the presentation, we will get to those questions. So with us today from iBug, is the president, Michael McCulloch. We have Sandhya Rao, who is the vice president of training and special events. We have Avakirat, who is the facilitator for Android Insight. And then we have Harshit Trivedi, who is also an Android Insight facilitator. So we are pleased to have all of these presenters with us today and looking forward to all the great information that they're going to provide to us. So at this time, I will go ahead and turn it over to Michael McCulloch. Michael, welcome and take it away.
All right. Thank you so much, Peter. It is so awesome to be here with everyone. And especially want to thank the Great Lakes ADA Center and the ADA National Network for inviting us to participate in this webinar today. As Peter just said, with me are Sandhya Rao, Ava Karuth, and Hershey Trivedi, and we'll all be part of this presentation. What is iBug today? We are a nonprofit organization that promotes the individual independence, social integration, and educational development of the blind and visually impaired community through accessible technology training. Our philosophy at iBug is that we believe that all members of the blind and visually impaired community should have unfettered access to the awesome power of accessible technology, and that cost should not be a barrier. And therefore, all of the training and all of the services that we provide are free. And that includes we don't charge any kind of membership dues or fees. We actually got started back in May of 2011, so we've been around now a little over 10 years, and when we first started, we just had a very small group of five people. It was just a little users group trying to help each other learn the iPhone, and since then, over this past 10 years, we've continued to grow, and now we serve and have an outreach of over 6,000 blind, visually impaired individuals pretty much worldwide. The training we provide are two forms. We do primarily group training, and then we have some individual training. The group training, each month we provide 13 different group training sessions, and those can be broken up into 8 on iOS, 4 on the Mac, and 1 on the Android systems. As far as our individual training, we provide one-on-one mentoring for on the iPhone to get new iPhone users up and going. We do also sponsor and host some social events. We host a book club each month. Also, a couple of times a month, we have a Star Trek discussion group. And then every Friday, what's become really popular, especially during the pandemic time, is our Friday night at the virtual movies, where we show a audio described movie. And that ranges pretty much the whole genre of types of movies. As far as our Android group training, we have a program we call Android Insight. And the facilitators and leaders of that are Ava and Hershey. And so I'd like to turn it over to them now to just give you a quick overview of Android systems.
Well, welcome, everybody. This is Ava speaking. And we are I'm one of the facilitators for the Android Insight. And we have several different phones that are offered over the Android platform. So, just to let you know, Android began September 23rd of 2008. And we have several companies that do the Android forum, everything from the Pixels, the Samsung, Motorola, OnePlus, and the Google tablets, Amazon tablets, and several others. Google currently offers the Google Pixel phone, the Pixel 6, the Pixel 5, the A series, and Samsung currently offers the S series, which is the S21, the Note series, as well as several other phones, with the S series being more the high-end phones. The mid-range series is models such as the A series, which would be the A71, 72, and they range as well. The software on the phone currently is Android 12 right now, which is mainly on the Google Pixel phones right now. And they offer, with the software, it's in various versions. So this is because of the manufacturer, because they do Android does have an open source system. So, which means that we have more apps that can be created for the Android platform. There is really not that many restrictions. Now, as I said before, the latest Google version is Android 12, and that is mainly on the Pixel phones at this time. And currently, Samsung and many others are running the Android 10 at this time. And as these upgrades come up, they do eventually come down to the Samsung and the other phones as well. And the manufacturers actually decide which OS is put on the phones. Okay, well, with the Android phones platforms, sometimes people have a question of what's the difference between speech and assistance. Well, screen readers are just like your speech software on your computer. So if you use JAWS, the screen reader on the Android platform, it works the same way. It allows you to, someone who's blind or visually impaired, to navigate the screen, read what's on the screen, identify the apps, read your emails, read text messages. It allows you to be able to look up your phone numbers and as well as hear what you're typing in on your phone. The main screen reader for the Android system is TalkBack. TalkBack is mainly on the telephones. as well as on the tablets that are produced, such as the Samsung tablets and many of the off-brand tablets out there as well. Another, for the Amazon Fire tablets, their main speech software is VoiceView. Now, so we know what the speech software is. It's the system that allows you to read the screen and know what's on your screen. Well, the question is, what is an assistant? Well, the assistant software is mainly voice command or voice control. This allows you to control your phone by your giving it commands. So if you have the Google, the Pixel or any Android phone, then the command word would be, hey, Google. And once you say, hey, Google, for example, you can say, what is the time? And it will tell you the time. Or you could say, hey, Google, send a text to so-and-so. And it will pull it up and ask you, what do you want to text this person? And you just say what you want to text. And this allows you to do longer text messages as well. And then it'll ask you if you want to send, and you can just give it to the command and say send. Well, on the Samsung phones, we have what's called Bixby, is the voice command assistant that's offered there. And it works just like the Google assistant does. And if you're using an Amazon Fire tablet, then you have Alexa. And it does the same thing. It will allow you to open apps and navigate by voice command to where you want to go. And what is a nice little add-on is on the Android platform now, you're able to add your Alexa through the Alexa app as a voice assistant. So you have a choice of which one you want to be the main one, either Hey Google or Alexa. Now, we also have for the low vision users of the Android, we have magnification. You're able to change the settings on the device through the accessibility settings. So you can change your magnification. You can gain the accessible features such as the magnifiers and the select to speak feature as well. As well as you can change your color inversion. So if you work better with black on white or even with yellow on green, you're able to do that. As well as other color filters that are offered. And that is, as far as low vision, those are the odd things that are offered.
All right, Michael speaking here. Thank you, Ava. Let's see, next we'd like to go over, give you just a quick overview of the Apple systems. As far as hardware, what's available on the iPhones currently on the market are the 11 series, which includes the 11, the 11 Pro, and 11 Pro Max. And then the 12 series, which includes the Mini, the 12, the 12 Pro, and 12 Pro Max. And same thing for the 13, the Mini, the 13 Pro, 13 Pro Max, and just the plain 13. For those that still want to use a home button on the market, you can still get a SE second generation that came out in 2020. Of course, older models are still available through some resellers. As far as iPads, currently on the market, iPad Mini, which is just the new iPad that came out in the fall, and also the plain iPad, the new iPad. The iPad Air, which came out in 2020, and then the iPad Pro, which has two different screen sizes available. As far as the software, it's a little bit different than what Ava described earlier over on the Android side. Since Apple was the only manufacturer of the phone and the software, the current iOS and iPad OS are version 15, and those can be installed on devices all the way down, I think, back to the iPhone 6s now. And so it's, you know, it's not dependent on any manufacturer releasing the OS whenever the latest OS is out. So regardless of, you know, which carrier you may have your phone through, then that that OS is available to you on both the iPhone and iPads. I'd like to have turn it over to Sonia now to tell you a little bit more about the screen readers and assistant and low vision.
This is Sonia. So on the iPhone, the screen reader is called VoiceOver, and that allows you to do just like what Ava described on the Android side. You can touch the screen and get information about icons and activating various applications and navigating through them. So that's what VoiceOver does. And then there's Siri. We all heard about Siri and her sassy attitude, right? So that is our voice assistant. And we can't live with or without her, right? And then as far as low vision abilities, we have the magnification, similar to Android, color inversion, and dark mode.
Thank you. And that was a great overview on both the Apple and the Android products that we all use. Next, we'd like to have a little panel discussion. And what we're going to do is kind of take an app survey. And this just will be a real high-level app overview, looking at a day in the life of an average blind or low-vision user. You get up in the morning, and some people like to maybe listen to some music as they're getting ready. Hershey, what are some of the music apps that you like to use?
Absolutely, Michael. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody else that's listening out there about the technical difficulties. But whenever I do wake up, I like to have some music around or something to get the energy rolling. So I use a few apps. So I'm going to bundle them up because they're kind of similar. So Spotify is one of them. Amazon Music is another. And then YouTube. They all offer a subscription base and they have an ad version. And as far as the Spotify and Amazon app, you could search your favorite artists and genres. I like Spotify for its the way it puts different genres. I could find music that I've not been able to find before. And the other great part that I enjoy with Amazon Music is I have Sony headphones and I could actually use the 360 reality on them. So I have an immersive way of listening to my music and every song is immersive. So they've done a decent job in that sense of getting that. And again, there's a paid and free version of that. And then we come down to one of my favorites that I'm in pretty much every day, which is YouTube. But it is a great component for music and you play, even watching music videos. So again, that's a nice way to capture that. And if you have premium service, there's also the YouTube Music app that it basically shares same component, same app, but they have two different standalone apps. So I'll pass it back.
All right. Thanks, Hershey. Michael speaking. Sandhya, how about you? What apps do you like to use for listening to music?
This is Sandhya. Yes, I use Pandora. So playing and searching for music is effortless. You have access to hundreds of music and comedy stations. And there is an ad-free subscription service for $9.99 per month. The other service I like to use is Apple Music. And there you can play over 90 million songs, just think about it, and 30,000 different playlists. You can experience spatial audio with dynamic head tracking. You can download your favorite tracks, play them over various devices, listen across your devices. The subscription for that is $9.99 for an individual and $14.99 per family.
Michael speaking. All right. That sounds like a lot of fun. I know some of our users also like to listen to podcasts as they're getting ready in the morning. Sonia, would you tell us about a typical podcast type app?
Oh, yes. My favorite is the Downcast. This is Sonia. This is a powerful, Downcast is a powerful, complete, and easy to use podcast player. You can search, subscribe, and download audio and visual podcasts of various sizes. You can manually subscribe to podcasts with reference to a URL. You can have multi-speed playback. That's really important to me. I like to speed things up. And then you can have gesture support, so you can shake it and move it back and forward or set increments based on touching your phone. You have sleep timers, and the cost is just $2.99.
All right. And yeah, so there are a number of different, podcast apps that are available out there that people like to use, and they're all very similar. They may have some unique features here and there, but some of those are like Overcast, which I know is only available on the iPhone, Pocket Cast, then the individual podcast apps on the devices themselves, Google Podcast and Apple Podcast are some of the favorites that folks like to use listening to podcasts. And, well, in addition, Hershey had mentioned Spotify and YouTube are also favorite apps for listening to podcasts. Another thing some of our users like to do when in the morning is do some exercise. And Ava, can you tell us about some of the apps that you might use whenever you're exercising?
Ava speaking, yes. Actually, I use one app, which is called Google Fit. And it monitors your steps. You can set for if you're going running, walking, exercising. It also monitors your heart rate. It gives you the opportunity to put in your weight to track your weight, as well as your sleep. And with this app, it is you can actually monitor your exercise routines from other apps as well. You can sync it with the Google Fit, as well as you can monitor it from your watch if you have a Fitbit watch. And this app is free. And now the other app that I enjoy using is a plank workout. With the plank workout, this app helps you strengthen your core, helps you reduce lower back pain, helps you with your posture, your balance. And this app has many different forms of plank workouts that it provides. It also has an animated side to it where if you don't understand what the plank is, you can actually go look it up before you start the workout routine. So it gives you a video description, an animated description, as well as a verbal description of the exercise. And this app is also free.
All right. Thanks, Ava. Yeah, she's one of our users that stays in really great shape. Something she didn't mention, I know she also uses the butt and thigh and legs workout apps and gets a lot out of those. I know I'm also into fitness quite a bit, and actually I use the fitness app on the iPhone. And that particular app, it's very similar to the Google Fit app that Ava just mentioned, where it will track your fitness and goals, and including up to 80 indoor, outdoor types of workout, keeps track of mindfulness as part of overall general health, provides me trends, you know, each week, going week to week, whether I'm up or down kind of thing, provides a little motivation awards. I can share my workouts with others to help keep me motivated. And one of the best features I like is integrates with my Apple Watch. And so makes it really handy for that. And it also, since it's native, it's free. Another thing people like to do in the mornings is read their email. And, you know, there's built into both systems on the Google side, the Gmail, And over on Apple, you have this regular mail app. Another favorite is the Outlook app, which is also very accessible on both platforms. Then another thing people like to do in the mornings is check their social media. Social media is a real popular thing. Sandhya, tell us what one of your favorite social media apps.
This is Sandhya. I love Facebook. So that allows me to connect with friends and family. I can communicate privately. I can watch videos that are shared by my friends. I can share what's on my mind, even, you know, good or bad. I can announce major life events through those of ever famous posts. I can discover groups that share my interests. So there's a lot of different things that you can do, and it is free.
All right. Yeah, Facebook is pretty much taken over the world. It's kind of like a country of its own. Hershey, how about you? Do you have a favorite social media app?
This is Hershey speaking. Yes, I have recently came across an app called Discord, D-I-S-C-O-R-D. And what that offers you is it is a multi-platform app, for one. And where it benefited me is I'm able to chat or get in touch with certain groups and interests that I'm a part of. So I found it to be a valuable app. It is free, and the different components of the app are basically more of a voice chat. So if you have a microphone and such, you could, you know, play. It's mainly for gamers, is what the app was meant for in the beginning, but a lot of blind and visually impaired users are using it to start up their groups. So if you have a group out there, it's a great app, and it's a free app to download.
All right, that sounds fun too. How about you, Ava? What kind of apps do you use for listening or checking out social media?
Well, this is Ava speaking, and I like to use Twitter. I like Twitter because it was actually based on the SMS communication platform, where you only have a limited number of characters. So it's not like you're writing something really long. So if you're just doing short tweets of 280 characters or less, and then it also gives me the opportunity to be able to follow news as well as follow high profile people such as the certain celebrities or music artists that I like to follow. I can see what they're tweeting about in the day in their lives or what their upcoming events is, as well as certain shows on TV as well that have their tweets out there, as well as family and friends. This app is actually free.
Michael speaking. Great. All of those sound fun. Another app that I heard of recently, it's been around in blind communities, been using it for the last year or so, is the Clubhouse app. And that just provides a space for casual drop-in audio conversations, whether it's with friends or other people, you know, pretty much all around the world. You can go online pretty much anytime, chat with the people that you follow or others, or you can just, find little rooms to listen in on to hear what others have to say, see what they're talking about. Another activity people like to do in the morning is to find out what's been happening overnight in the news. Hershey, what do you use to check on your news?
This is Hershey speaking. Well, Michael, I do tend to use a couple different apps. Again, I am a Googler. I use YouTube and Google News. So first things first, how do I watch my news on YouTube? Well, with YouTube, most news channels tend to put their, channels are basically things you subscribe to. So they put their content on YouTube. So if you don't have cable, you still have a way to get to your news that way. And the other important part to note for news is you have your Google I/O events, you have your Apple events. Those are technically news, right? And so to find that are normally streamed on YouTube and other sources. The second app that I like using, as I mentioned, Google, and since YouTube is made by Google, is the Google app in itself. The cool thing about the Google app is it's a aggregator of all the news. So I might see something with CNET, I might read something through Wired. Have you guys noticed I like tech? So as you're looking through tech, you will find that it is a nice place to at least look through an article that might be an interest. And then Google Assistant is built in, as Ava was talking about earlier. And the Google Assistant is a great tool within the app because you could say, okay, G or okay, Google. And it will basically let you say, read it out loud. Read it out loud basically changes the voice, or it takes the article, takes away all the ads and cleans it up and reads it to you in a little bit of a better text-to-speech voice. So definitely a cool app. Both are free in sense of ad-free as far as watching news, but YouTube does have a charge for subscription to get rid of the ads. So that's that.
Michael speaking. Okay, how about you, Sandy? Do you have a favorite app that you use to read the news?
Absolutely. This is Sandhya. I use NFB Newsline daily, and this is a free service available to anyone who is blind, visually impaired, or print disabled. It offers over 500 publications, including national newspapers, breaking news services, international newspapers, magazines, and countless state newspapers. The cost is free.
Michael speaking. Very good. And of course, on the Apple devices, there is the news app that's available, very similar to the Google News. It's pretty much a news aggregator that pulls in the news from all various sources. Now that we've gone through the morning, looking at throughout the day, some of the activities that a typical user might do. First thing, we want to talk about getting ready to go out for the day and maybe explore. And so there are some navigation, GPS types of apps that our users will use. And how about you, Ava? Do you have a favorite navigation type app?
Ava speaking. Yes, I do, Michael. I actually have two apps that I like to use for navigating. The first one is Lazarillo. With this app, it actually gives me two great features that I enjoy. I can look up an address and set it for my destination. So when I'm riding with someone, that I can actually give them turn-by-turn directions of how to get there. But it also allows me, if I'm riding the bus or if I'm riding with someone, which through both of them, it gives guided directions. So it'll let me know what streets we're crossing, what's businesses or points of interest that I'm passing up around me. So if I'm on the bus and I decide that, oh, I want to go there, I can actually jump off and go to that destination. As well as it allows me to have an address book so I can keep track of the addresses I've gone to. And this app is actually free. The other app that I enjoy using is called Around Me. And with this app, it's actually set up in categories. So it says like business, restaurants, clubs, gas station, banks. So let's say, for example, I'm at my home and I want to know what restaurants are around me. I can actually go to this app, go to restaurants, and it will give me a list of the restaurants that's within about a 5-10 mile radius of me. And you can actually set this in your settings, but it gives me the name of the restaurant, the phone number, and actually gives me a nice little rating of it as well. And this app is also free.
This is Peter. Ava, folks are asking if you could mention again and spell the name of the first navigation app. And as you're talking about the different apps, if folks could spell the apps, people are trying to take some notes because you're mentioning a whole lot of great apps.
Okay. This is Ava. The first app I was talking about is called Lazarillo, and it is spelled LazarillO. Okay. And the other app was Around, Around,
And Michael speaking, just to let everybody know also, we'll be providing a list of all of the apps that we're mentioning here today. And so we'll make that available after the seminar. You can post that on the website. All right, very good. Let's see. I know Mr. Android Hershey must use the ever popular Google Maps. Is that right, Hershey?
That is right. This is Hershey speaking. So with Google Maps, it's definitely a powerful app over time, and our feedback has definitely made it a wonderful app. It is an app used for transit in general. So if you're walking, if you need turn-by-turn directions in that sense, or if you're riding on a transit train, bus, etc., that is available to you as well to at least track timing or accidents and such. And to just for mentioning, there's also Waze, which Google owns, is W-A-Z-E, and it is synonymous to Google Maps. So both apps pretty much offer the same type of benefits. So it is a free app and it is multi-platform.
Michael speaking. And very similar to Google Maps is Apple Maps. It has come a long way. It's pretty much rivals Google Maps now, and specifically on the Apple's products. Sonia, I know you use an app called Ariadne. Would you like to share a little bit about that one?
Oh, yes. This is Sandhya. So Ariadne is a where you can get information about the street that you're on, street numbers, are they going bigger or smaller? You can explore just with your finger touching the screen. You can move around and get a sense of where you are. You can, I think the best feature is you can mark favorites, add favorite points to your the app database, and then it'll alert you when you are within a certain distance of those marked favorites. And this cost is $5.99.
All right. So now we can figure out where we need to go and how to get there. Next category we want to look at are some grocery shopping, general, you know, ordering food or drinks. And I know, Hershey, tell us about a favorite app you like to use for doing grocery shopping.
Indeed, Michael. This is Hershey speaking. The app that I wanted to talk about is Instacart, I-N-S-T-A-C-A-R-T. And it is a multi-platform app where I find it useful for me personally is it allows me to shop from different stores. So if I want a store that sells beverages, if I want a store that sells groceries, if I want to buy a bone for my dog, something of that nature, you have a wide variety of choices, but it does matter what stores are in your area. So do note that there is a subscription, which is $99 a year, I believe, and sometimes they have deals. And then there's the free tier, which the free tier basically just charges you a delivery fee every time you use the app. So that is the Instacart app and found both on Android and iOS.
Michael speaking. All right, very good. Another app very similar to Instacart is the Shipt app, S-H-I-P-T. And pretty much same deal there. It's a membership, $99 a year, or you can pay per delivery. The main difference between it and Instacart that it also provides access to Target, Office Depot, CVS stores, and I think Petco. You know, for grocery shopping, I mean, there's in addition to these, of course, there's local stores that have apps, and those have different levels of accessibility. Ones that we've found that were, you know, pretty good have to do with like the Walmart and Target apps are generally pretty accessible. The as far as delivery service, they're using DoorDash, which also can be used to order food and other food and drink apps that some of our users like to use are Uber Eats. I guess now it's under the Uber One umbrella, and Grubhub. And those all pretty much work the same. There are various restaurants that sign up with those, and then they will provide menus. You select the menu and order your favorite dishes, and then they will be delivered to your doorstep. As far as general shopping, of course, everybody knows the probably the number one shopping app out there, and our number one shopper, Sandhya, is going to tell you a little bit about that.
This is Sandhya. Yes, I think I know how to use this app a little too well. It is the Amazon app, and shopping is easy and fast. You can browse, you can view product details, you can read reviews, and of course, you can purchase from a million different items. You can get real-time tracking and notification to find out exactly where your package is. And also, you can get groceries from Amazon Fresh, and you can get those within 2 hours. So this is Amazon. If you have Amazon Prime, which is $125 annual fee, then this is included.
All right. Very good. And like we said earlier, for the grocery shopping, other apps that are available out there that are very accessible are the Walmart and Target apps. And again, they use DoorDash for their delivery service. I know there's local stores that have some apps, so you check some of those out. And then there's also the eBay app, which is also very accessible and can be used to find products and things that you probably can't find in any of the store apps sometimes. Then we want to get into a category. You know, we have our regular postal mail come in. Maybe we want to try to read a label on a package. And so there are a number of different scanner identifier optical character recognition, OCR types of apps. Hershey, why don't you tell us about some of the apps that you like to use?
Sure, Michael. This is Hershey speaking. And I guess this is why I am a part of the Android Insight call, because I keep picking Google apps. Anyway, so the next app up is the Google Lookout app. And the Google Lookout app is definitely a multitude of tools in one app type of deal, because I use it for, let's say I have a package at the door. Who is it from? The document reader is great for labels like that, because it'll capture every single detail without you having to fumble and jumble and make sure it did it right. And it's pretty accurate in that sense. And then you have text reading. So you're in your fridge or you're in your pantry and you just want to have a quick read at a label. Text is great for that. And what's cool about Google Lookout, it has a bar food label identifier. So what is useful for me in that is I could tell what I'm looking at, and it's going to use either the barcode or the image of the box or can per se. And lastly, but not least, you could still check out how much money you have in your wallet, if we have any after Christmas, right? And so that way, if you want to have all-in-one app, it's free, but it's only made for Android.
Michael speaking. All right, very good. And very similar, well, pretty much identical, because it was developed for the same purpose. The Seeing AI app on the iPhones, and that's pretty much the Swiss Army knife type app, and it does all the same type functions that Hershey mentioned, and it is also free. Hershey, why don't you tell us some more about, I know you also use the Ledger and VoiceStream scanners.
This is Hershey speaking. Yes, and people must wonder, well, Ledger, what is Ledger? L-E-G-E-R, which is the name that they have given the scanner app on the Android side. Most people are familiar on iOS of, maybe I've heard of it, VoiceStream Reader, or excuse me, Scanner. And these two apps are basically for scanning documents. Again, the same thing. What I like about this one in particular, if I mess up with Lookout or other apps that I might have in my phone, I could come back to this and I could take an image, for example, and it will OCR the image instead of me just reading pure text. So depending on what I'm touching, it is a useful app for that reason. And it is a paid app for both iOS and Android.
Michael speaking. All right. Very good. How about you, Sandhya? Is there a favorite app that you like to use for doing identification and scanning?
This is Sandhya. Yes, I love SuperSense. And the cool thing about this app is that it automatically detects what you're trying to read. So it knows if I'm trying to scan a bill, if I'm trying to read text, if I'm trying to read a barcode. And then it provides you guidance on how to scan it, how to point the camera, and then it starts reading it to you. So this is also similar to Envision AI, and it is a subscription service. You have a monthly, yearly, and lifetime subscription.
Very good. And I think that's spelled SuperSense. Ava, how about you? What are some of your favorite apps to use for identification?
Well, Michael, this is Ava. I actually have two apps that I use. However, the apps that I like to use are dealing with live agents. So the first app is called Be My Eyes. And these agents are actually volunteers. So you can, once you open the app, you call them and you just place your camera above the document, or even if it's a food item that you want them to read, and they will look at it, or if they need to, take a picture of it to make it clear for them, and they will actually read it to you. They will also let you know if you want to know what color you're wearing or what this outfit looks like. They will let you know that as well. However, with Be My Eyes, they have a nice feature that they have implemented, which is called specialized services. They have many different services listed there, but one of the most important ones I will mention is Microsoft. So if you're having problems with your computer, it may have stopped talking, or it's something that you can't get it to do, you can actually go to the Be My Eyes, go on the specialized service, and actually talk with a live agent from Microsoft. And this app is also free. The other app that I enjoy using is called Aira, A-I-R-A. This app, their live agents are actually highly trained and are bonded. So they will do the same thing, basically, as Be My Eyes will do. They will read your mail to you. They will help navigate you through your house. Let you know if they're, you know, what color the outfit you're wearing. But one special features that it also offers, because businesses can purchase their services, so you can have what are called our free zones in certain stores, such as Walgreens is actually an our free zone. So if you're using the app, because this app is actually a paid service, and you go by minutes. And if you're in Walgreens, you don't use any of your minutes. It will actually, you can use a live agent versus having to ask for help in the store. You can actually navigate the store with the agent on the phone guiding you to the areas. You just tell them where you, what you're looking for. Well, this app, as I said, is a paid service. The basic service that starts off is like $20 a month for 30 minutes, and they have other tiers that you can look into as well.
Michael speaking. All right. Thanks, Ava. Yeah, I really love that Aira app. I know I used it once to help me assemble, put together some patio furniture one weekend, and the agent, you know, patiently actually pulled up the instructions on the internet and walked me through setting out all the parts and then began to assemble. And actually, we ran out of time one day, and so I had to call back in the next morning. And I got the same agent that answered the phone or answered the connection. And so we picked up right where we left off, and he knew exactly, you know, what was going on. And so was able to finish putting all the patio furniture together. So that was a real accomplishment for me. What about for low vision users? Hershey, what do you use over there on the Google side?
Hershey speaking. On the Google side, we have a couple choices. Ava mentioned the components that come with the phone. So For example, I wanted to touch base on Samsung phones, which has a widget called the magnifier. And so if you have a phone like that, it does have similar components, but Android is full of apps and there's an app for almost anything. And the app that I have come across through different mutual people that are low vision and it's been useful is called WeZoom, W-E-Z-O-O-M. And what this app pretty much does is converts your phone into a magnifier. So you have the black on white on black, yellow on black, so on and so forth, blue on yellow. And this makes this definitely a powerful tool if you need something that might not be as jittery. So worth a shot. It's a free app. And that is even the magnifier for the Samsung side. It's just toggling it on by going to your widgets and turning on the or selecting the magnifier widget to use it that way. So this is pretty much, that part is built in. But if you want to download something on top, WeZoom is your choice.
Michael speaking. Very good. And then on the Apple products or the iPhones anyway, they have a built-in magnifier. And with the latest software, it performs pretty much as a CCTV. Has controls for zoom, color, contrast, has a freeze frame feature, controls for the lighting. Then if you also have one of the later iPhone models, the 12 Pro Max or the 13 Pro or 13 Pro Max, it can also detect people around you. So that's a nice little feature there. Another area that we users participate in is audio and video conferencing. Obviously, everybody here today is on this Zoom conference webinar, and so you're all familiar with that. There's several other conferencing video type apps, audio and video type conferencing apps, the Microsoft Teams, GoToMeeting, those all very, very similar to Zoom. So if you use Zoom, you can pretty much use those. Also, on the individual devices, on the Apple side, there's the FaceTime app. And on the Google side, the Androids have the Duo app, D-U-O. And we always have to get some work done. And one of the things that we need to do is maybe put together a presentation like we're doing here today, or put together, create some documentation, or tabulate some numbers and put together a spreadsheet. Most people are probably familiar with the Microsoft suite of products, Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. And then the OneDrive, which allows you to save all those and be able to sync up between your devices. And of course, all those are accessible and available on both Android and Apple devices. Hershey, can you tell us a little bit about another Google products?
Hershey speaking. Sure, Michael. I guess I am the Google guy for today's meeting. And so the apps that I deal with would be Google Docs, Sheets, and Slides. What these are equivalent to making, again, a spreadsheet, a document, or a presentation with slides. And as Michael previously mentioned during the program, we talked about Gmail. So the basic point is, if you have a Gmail account, you have these capabilities where you have 15 gigs of storage. So Google Drive is going to be your storage area. And then so you create a document on Word or on Docs. I'm going over here with Microsoft here real quick. But anyway, Docs, Slides, and Sheets. And so you make those documents, but where do you save it? You could save it to your OneDrive, or I'm going back to Microsoft Drive, excuse me. OneDrive is Microsoft, Drive is Google. So just to clarify, because you see how I'm stumbling over it, it does get confusing, but Docs, Slides, and Sheets, they're all free if you have a Google account, and you could download the apps and you could, you could use Outlook as your email client within that realm. So if you're trying to open up a document, you could pop right in and open it in Docs, and pretty useful app.
Michael speaking. Yeah, it sometimes gets confusing because I'll use, you know, those also in addition to the Microsoft. But on the Apple products, I also use products that are unique to Apple. And the equivalent products there, the suite of products, are called Pages, Numbers, and Keynote for presentations. And of course, the iCloud is used to for the storage areas for those. Hershey, if you don't want to use a detailed word processor, what might you use to take some notes on the Google side?
Sure, Michael. This is Hershey speaking. So the tool that I have got fond of is the Google Keep app. Yes, there's a trend going on, folks. But anyway, with Google Keep, the reason why I like it is if you want to take a quick note, so maybe you took the Google Lookout app and you took a document and you scanned it. Now you want to save that verbiage to somewhere. What I have a choice of doing is copying it over. So it's in my clipboard, and then I can open up a Google Keep note, drop it in there, and I have that saved. Now I have that saved on all my devices that I sign in with my Google account. This works great also if you have a tablet. So if you're using Amazon Fire tablet, you could still utilize that and just use the website to go to this general app that you're seeking to go to. So definitely a powerful tool. It does audio notes. So if you want to keep things together and not open up your recorder, you could just open up Keep and you have your notes, you have your audio recordings. If you want to take a picture note and write some notes on a picture of this is mom, this is dad, this is sister, something like that, then you could always do that. And it is free and both platforms have it available.
Michael speaking. Sandhya, I just bet there's got to be something equivalent over on the Apple products.
This is Sandhya. You are correct, sir. You can use Apple Notes, N-O-T-E-S. You can jot down your quick thoughts. You can save web links. You can have handwritten notes. You can save sketches. You can even scan a document using the built-in scanner. You can secure your note with a password. Then you can sync all of your notes across all of your devices with iCloud, so you are always in touch with your notes. And best of all, you can collaborate with your friends as you are working on a presentation. This is free.
Michael speaking. Yeah, I love that one too. I know I've scanned in, all of my ID cards, and it makes it really handy to have backups of all of my ID cards whenever I need that. Something else that we need to do during the day is to do some research or check out other things going on the internet. Ava, tell us about some of the internet browsers that you might use.
Ava speaking. Yes, Michael. Actually, there are several browsers I like to use. One of them is our main Google Chrome browser. So just as Hershey was mentioned before, and Michael about your Gmail account, once you're signed into your Gmail account on Chrome, this will actually sync Chrome between all your devices. So whether you're using your cell phone or your tablet, your searches will be synced through all your devices. So if you search for something on your phone and all of a sudden you're on your tablet and you want to search for the same thing, it will actually pop up. Or if you saved it in your favorites, you can actually go to your favorites on either device and pull it up. And a couple of more browsers that will do the same thing is Microsoft Edge. Once you signed into your Microsoft account, it will sync it between devices, as well as Firefox will sync between your devices as well. But there is one extra one that I like to use, and it's with my Samsung phone and my Samsung tablet, is Samsung Internet. And this is actually accessible, and it does the same as all the others. through your devices. So these are also free as well.
All right. Very good. Yeah, I use a number of those also, Ava. Michael speaking, by the way. And then unique to the Apple products, of course, is the Safari browser. And it's comparable to all the previous browsers that Ava just mentioned. And it, of course, being native to the iPhone and iPad, it is going to be free. Sometimes maybe, you know, we don't want to take down written notes. And so to just make a quick little recording of something we want to keep in mind to go back and look at later. Hershey, do you have some favorite recorder apps that you might use?
Hi, Hershey speaking. Yes, indeed, Michael. And as there's a trend going on with me with this presentation today, I am the Google guy, it appears. And so here we go down Google Alley. The Google Pixel has a wonderful recorder because it, whenever you end the recording, it gives you the option to save either text, voice, or text and voice as a combination. So this is a great, great tool. If you're in class, you're in a meeting, you want to remember something, you could go ahead and search through that meeting in that text aspect of the meeting and find what might be a phone number or what it might have captured, or at least get to the recording quickly. On the other hand, Samsung, as far as recorders are concerned, has its own, but it does not use the same technology as the Pixel. The difference between the Pixel and that with the technology is they use live transcribe. So whenever you're speaking, it will go ahead and translate for you live. And the Google Pixel 6, for that matter, is awesome at that because it does it on phone and or on device, and it's really quick at doing such things. So they're pretty much free, but again, it does matter what phone device you might have.
All right, very good. But that's, yeah, pretty much all of the Google things Hershey's covering for us. Okay, how about over on the Apple side, Sandhya? What's available there for doing a note or recording a note?
This is Sandhya. Yes, we have voice memos. So you can turn your iPhone, iPad, or Apple Watch into a portable audio recorder. You can make it easy to capture personal moments, family moments, lectures. Then you can have some editing tools like trim and replace, and that will help you fine tune your recording. You can use a built-in mic, a Bluetooth headset, or an external mic. And then you can even have the ability to automatically name a file based on your location. You can sync your notes, your recordings, voice memos, across all of your devices with iCloud, and it is free.
Michael speaking. Yeah, I guess one thing the voice memos doesn't have that Hershey mentioned over on the Google side is that transcription or transcribing of the recordings. So an app that I use to help me out with that is called Just Press Record. And so it has all the standard audio recording features. And then it, in addition, will do the transcription of the actual recording and save that into iCloud for syncing to all your devices. It is a paid app. I believe last time I looked, it was like $4.99. Another activity we have to take care of at times is doing our banking. We love e-banking and e-payments. Sandhya, tell us about a typical e-payment app that you might use.
Yes, this is Sandhya. I use the Cash app, and this allows you to instantly send and receive money. You can transfer money from the Cash app into another bank account very quickly without having to wait. And this app is free.
Yeah, I love those free apps. Very similar to the Cash app, the Square Cash app, is the Venmo app, PayPal, of course, most people have heard of, and the Zelle app, which will connect directly to your bank account. built into devices. Of course, they all have some kind of ePay system. So Google has the GPay, Samsung Pay, and then there's Apple Pay on the Apple devices. We've found that a number of banks have fairly accessible apps. There are different degrees, but the Wells Fargo, Chase, and Bank of America are some of the most popular ones that are used. Well, we've had a hard day's work, and now it's time to go to happy hour. We want to go out and meet our friends, and maybe we don't want to take public transportation. So we're going to use one of the rideshare or ride services. And apps, of course, for those most popular ones are Uber and Lyft, LYFT. Both of those are basically the same. I usually check those, check both of those going to a location to see which one they at times will run different promos to give you discounts, or at times will, one will be a little bit cheaper or more than the other one. They have times that when the prices will surge, when there's high demand, rush hour time periods, or if there's a special event going on in your city. Basically, they work the same. You just put in your current location, or you can use the GPS, built-in GPS on the device to put in your current location, and then you just enter the location for your destination and hit the request a ride button, and hopefully, and you generally within a few minutes, you'll have a driver coming to your doorstep to pick you up and off to go to meet your friends for happy hour. Well, after the end of a long day, we get back home and just want to kick back and relax, just maybe kind of veg out a little bit, have some entertainment. And so there are some TV and movie apps that we would like to talk about. Sandhya, what's one of your favorite streaming TV movie apps?
This is Sandhya. I really love the Netflix app, N-E-T-F-L-I-X. And this is an award-winning, you can watch award-winning series, movies, documentaries, specials. You can use the mobile app while you're traveling or commuting. There's lots of audio described content available. All of their original content is audio described, and the cost is $8.99 per month. There's a similar service as Prime Video, free with Amazon Prime subscription. And there you can watch original movies, Thursday Night Football, and they have audio described content as available as well.
Michael speaking. Of course, both of those, Netflix and Prime Video, are available on both platforms. One that's just unique to the Apple platform is called Apple TV Plus, which came out about 2 years ago now. And that is a streaming service that features Apple original content, and all of it is audio described. There's award-winning series, there's dramas, documentaries, there's some kids entertainment, comedy shows, and much more. With the new Apple Originals, there's each month they're continue to put out new content and have been building up their selections. They're still way behind what's available on Netflix or Prime Video, but slowly catching up. And you would use the TV app, the built-in TV app, to watch, listen to any of the Apple TV Plus content. And it is a subscription service. Hershey, what about you? Do you have a favorite app that you use?
This is Hershey speaking. And Michael, I don't know if you noticed a trend. You know, we've been talking about this. Hopefully we can clean the palate, so to speak, right? And the next app is, again, YouTube. But a twist to it, YouTube TV. The YouTube TV app, I think, is great because you do get the audio description through the second audio channels, and you have your basic cable, but you could put it onto your phone, your tablet, your smart TV, your Chromecast by Google TV, or Fire Stick even. So there is versatility in that sense. And the other component that I want to touch base with is Spectrum Access, which is not necessarily a app where you would find like a video or a TV show, but you will find audio description. So what you do is the Spectrum Access app was created by a couple blind and visually impaired individuals that now Spectrum has taken over. But you do have, let's say, CBS shows, you have NBC shows, not a good, you know, high amount of content, but you download the audio described audio file, you turn on the TV channel in your living room, you let it sync to the audio because it's listening to the audio, and it will sync up, and then you listen to it through your headphones. So you have audio description going through your ears, but then you're with your family while they're watching it normally. So it could be a useful tool. And the app is free, available on both platforms. The Spectrum part is that Spectrum owns it, but it's basically for audio description. And then for YouTube TV, there is a subscription fee for that. Prices have been varying as such because of different features and packages. So check with them. And it is a great app as far as accessibility is concerned for Android, and available on both.
Michael speaking. Yeah, those sound awesome. Hershey, I think the Spectrum Access, isn't it also set up where some movies that are playing in the theater, you can also download the audio track and have it sync up with the movie?
Hershey speaking. Yes, Michael. So there are a handful of movies that are maybe somewhat new. The expectation is not high of the movie quality, like the big name label of the movies. But if you're at the theater, it's the exact same thing. So you would go through the same process, but you don't need to borrow one of their devices. You could have your phone and just pop in a headset or earbuds and you're good to go.
Michael speaking. Yeah, that's when I tried to use it. Like you said, there's very limited number of movies that it offers for that. But I found the experience to be a lot more desirable than the audio description devices that are provided in the theaters. Ava, what about you? Do you have a favorite streaming app?
Ava speaking. And yes, I do, Michael. I actually use Pluto, P-L-U-T-O. This app is it's a streaming app that will stream movies, live TV shows, as well as on-demand shows and movies. And this app is actually free.
Michael speaking. Yeah, always love those free apps, that's for sure. All right, let's see. Let's finish it off. Sandhya, tell us about couple of apps that you might use for streaming.
I love the app called, this is Sandhya, I use Xfinity Stream, X-F-I-N-I-T-Y, new word, S-T-R-E-A-M. And this will turn any of your screens into a TV. And this is included with your Xfinity service, or, you know, if you still are have a cord cable service. You can stream top networks, live sports and news, thousands of on-demand shows and movies. You can even download your recordings and movie library and watch later. You have, this is very similar to the My Spectrum service.
So Michael speaking, so Spectrum, the Spectrum cable is what you're talking about there?
Yes. This is Sandhya, yes.
Comparable. Okay, very good. Yeah, have a nice selection of apps that are available to enjoy any streaming content, television, shows, and movies out there. I know some of our users also like to read books. whether, you know, listening to audiobooks or actually using the screen reader to read ebooks. And got a number of apps that are favorites of our users. Sandhya, what about you? Do you have a favorite book reading app?
This is Sandhya. Yes, I do. It's Bard Mobile, B-A-R-D, M-O-B-I-L-E. And this gives you access to thousands of current bestsellers, to the beloved classics. You can also get popular magazines, music scores, and instruction. And you can get it in audio and electronic braille format. And this app is available for anyone who is enrolled in the National Library Service for the blind and print disabled. And it is a long, far cry from when we used to get those little boxes with cassette tapes a long time ago. So it's like, I feel like I'm a kid in a candy store. It's so exciting. It's a wonderful app. And it is free.
Very good. Michael speaking. All right. How about Ava? Do you have some apps that you use for reading, listening to books?
Ava speaking. And yes, I do, Michael. I have two of them that I enjoy. The first one is Audible. It is very similar to Bard, except for this one, it's a paid app. But it actually allows you to immerse yourself in whether you're walking, riding, just like with Bard, you can take it with you. But they have over 100,000 books, everything from new releases to old classics as well. And as I said before, this is a paid app. They have a monthly subscription. They start off at a low tier level and move up. So you have your, like, your gold, your platinum levels. So that's one app. My other app is my Kindle app. And with my Kindle app, it is an e-reader. So it gets your ebooks through Amazon. So just like Sonia mentioned before, Amazon, you can actually go up there and buy books and send it to your Kindle app as well. And they have over 1 million books you have access to. They also have a Kindle Unlimited, which is a paid subscription. So you can actually download free books through that. And you also have your Prime books as well. So if you're a Prime member, you can also get access to free books through your Kindle app by using Prime. But as I said before, this is a free app to download, but the books you do pay for.
Michael speaking. Yeah, I love both the Audible and Kindle apps. You know, earlier we were talking about working out, exercising in the morning. And actually, my preferred thing to do while I'm exercising is to actually listen to an audio book. So I've got my Audible subscription where I get a book each month. And actually, I kind of get behind at times because I go between it and Bard Mobile. And so I will read those books while I'm working out. And that really helps pass the time away. Hershey, how about you? Do you have some favorite book reading apps?
This is Google speaking. Excuse me, this is Hershey speaking. The point I want to make here is not every app has to be Google. And the app that I spoke about earlier, Ledger and VoiceStream, L-E-G-E-R and VoiceStream. And between those two apps, it's basically a suite of apps as far as cost is concerned. If anybody is wondering what is the cost, iOS tends to bundle it. So that's why we're not really sharing a cost, because there's always a sale going on of some sort. And then for the Android, I bought my reader for $9.99 and the scanner was $5.99. So just to give you an idea. But in any case, the apps, this app in particular, the reader, is useful for me because let's say my doctor sends me a PDF file, I could then convert it and it'll read it to me. You get one free voice, and this is available on both platforms the same way. So you get a acapella voice instead and a couple other ones, I believe. And so you have a, you know, better experience reading a book, a little bit more of annotation in the voice per se, or inflections. So it's a great app. And again, similar to with a scanner. The scanner would just do scanning of text. The reader will take any files that you have saved in the past. So if you have just rich text files, it'll read those. It'll read PDF files and many, many more formats within that. And the format that I use for it in particular is eBooks, because EPUB files are really hard sometimes to have players play them. And it's great to have that extra voice that sounds good and to read a nice long novel.
Michael speaking. All right, very good. Then, of course, you know, native or built into each of the different platforms. On the Google side, there's the Google Books, and those are, that's an ebook reader. And then the ebook reader on the Apple side are the Apple Books. And those you, again, you have to purchase the books, but the apps are free. So those are a number of the favorite book reading apps that our users like to use. And, you know, late at night, we get ready to go to bed. Some of us have to take some medications. I know I have a number of medications I have to take. And boy, I got a good app for you for that. There's a app called ScriptTalk. And some of you may have heard of the ScriptTalk service. It's been around a while, and it uses, well, previous to the, before the app came out, there was a special device. But what it does is there's a special label. It's called, it uses, it sticks on the bottom of your medicine bottle, and it uses what's called a RFID, and it actually uses the you know, the hearing part of your phone, if you, that's what it's called, the receiver. That's what I want to say. So it's listening, and that RF signal is sent out from that label, and then it has options to either, you know, just tell you the name of the medication, a quick talk, or it can give you a very detailed, you know, everything that would normally be on the label that a sighted user can see on a prescription label, you know, the name of the medication, the dosage, you know, any warnings, the doctor that prescribed it, how many refills you have left to go, if you need to, you know, the number to call to get a refill. So it's a very nice app, and it works very, very, very. It's very accessible for using.
Michael, we're under 5 minutes to go before we get to the end of the session.
Okay, we are about to wrap up. Thanks, Peter. And then, very just recently, CVS announced that they have an app coming out that is very similar to ScriptTalk, and so. I haven't personally checked it out, but if it works anywhere like ScriptTalk, then it'll be a nice app to use also. And those apps are free. So that pretty much wraps up our app survey, Day in the Life of an Average Blind or Low Vision User. Again, you know, you want to find out more about iBug Today, you can always go to our website, ibugtoday.org. We have a Facebook page and especially a Facebook group, facebook.com/group/ibugtoday. You can follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @ibugtoday. And then we also have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/ibugtoday. So please keep up with the things we're doing. We'd love to have you join us and get involved in our organization. And at this time, I guess we can go ahead and open it up for any questions that folks might have.
All right. We have a minute for a question or two, and perhaps we can send some of these lots of questions submitted. One question was about weather apps and accessible weather apps that provide weather alerts for both platforms.
Okay. Hershey speaking.
Go ahead, Hershey.
For the Google side, you will find that the Google weather app itself is quite useful. We did have Dark Sky, which is now on iOS. So the other one would be Dark Sky. There are multitudes of apps in that sense, but most, I would say, are accessible. Google is probably just the easiest way to go because it does give you quite an in-depth version and it is accessible.
Anyway. Michael speaking. Yeah, what Hershey just mentioned, Dark Sky, which has now been incorporated into the weather app built into the Apple side. It's become a very nice weather that provides alerts and all kinds of good information there.
All right, excellent. Then we did submit an application to have Hershey's name officially changed to Google Guy. So be on the lookout for that. The Google Guy mentioned when reading news, there's a way to use an app to skip apps. Is there something similar on the iOS side, Michael?
This is
Sandy. Can you go ahead?
Yes. What he was saying about skipping ads. So we have a feature when you go into like an article on the website and it's under format and then it's called reader view. And so when you activate that, then that strips out all of the other paraphernalia and get sort of all the advertisements and so forth. And then you just get the straight article.
All right. And one last question before we need to wrap it up here. Any good apps that help identify colors?
This is Cynthia. It's Seeing AI has the capability, but you know, we've been dealing with this for many, many years, and there are lots of color apps identifiers out there. But it really just depends on lighting. So much is dependent on lighting. So it's hard to get an accurate reading. One good alternative is using like one of the apps that Ava mentioned, like Seeing AI. Or color, or TapTapC is also an app that they can give you some color feedback, and Be My Eyes. But both of the live services are probably a little more reliable, but TapTapC is pretty good as well. That's TapTapCee. Yes.
Excellent. All right. We are at the bottom of the hour, and that is helpful. I'm tired of wearing two different colored socks. As Michael mentioned, a resource document with the list of all these great apps that were mentioned will be provided and will be posted with the archive. So thank you for that. If we could go to the evaluation slide, an email is going to be sent out to you shortly after the session concludes. And in that will be a link to an evaluation. So we would encourage you to please complete that. That helps us with planning for future webinar programs. Our next ADA audio session will be part two, and we'll look at accessible technology on smartphones and tablets for users who are deaf, hard of hearing, and cognitive and mobility disabilities. That will take place on Tuesday, January the 18th. You can register and find information about all upcoming ADA audio sessions by visiting ada-audio.org. So thanks again to all of our speakers, Ava, Sonia, Michael, the Google Guy, and thanks to all of you for joining us today and participating. We look forward to seeing you all in the future. If you have questions about the ADA audio program, you can contact us at 877-232-1990. I want to wish everyone a happy holidays. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we look forward to seeing everyone in 2022. Thanks and take care.